Good to have you all here today. We obviously had finished our series on Colossians last week, and so this morning we're going to be taking a look at biblical memorials. And in the past month, as I started prepping for the sermon today, I just started thinking in my mind of all the, as it being Memorial Day weekend, and the whole our nation's theme, you know, is to remember and honor those, and of course, those that know the history of Memorial Day and started out as Decoration Day, and now we use that to honor our men and women that have give the ultimate sacrifice for our country, that we are so grateful for them. And so as we drew near to this day and this weekend, and knowing the festivities and different fun times that we plan on having, that this whole idea of memorial sometimes loses its, you know, actual meaning and what it's for. We look at it as a day to celebrate and have good food and kind of party relaxation type of a day. But then I started considering all the different memorials, and then those in our country that have given their life for us, and then we've then memorialized them. And so I was watching several YouTube videos over the past couple weeks. One of them that was ongoingly interesting to me was the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and just everything that takes place there. And I know many of you have been able to go there and witness that yourself, but I believe that started in 1938, and 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and sometimes 366 days a year that they volunteer to be out there and to guard the tomb there is just itself astounding to the memorial in which we have for those that had served our country. And so I started putting together a list of memorials from the Bible, and wanted to preach about that. And we're by no means going to exhaust that list today, but if I was going to speak a message on biblical memorials, one of the first ones I would consider would be that of a name of memorial that was sent sent Moses. We see this in Exodus chapter 3 in verse 15. He says, God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. That name is that of the great I Am. If we go back and read in Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, we'd see this taking place. We also see it in the previous verse of Exodus 3:14. The name is not one of a man. It is not Buddha. It is not Allah. It is not Confucius. It is not Krishna. It is not the Pope. It is not Luther. It is not Wesley. It is not Augustine. It's not Calvin. It's not Mary Baker, Glover, Patterson, Eddy. But the one and the only God Almighty, Jehovah. That is who cared for and guided Moses. That is the name to be memorialized. And if I were going to speak a message on biblical memorials, this would be a good one to discern and discuss. However, I believe the scripture tells us of other important memorials to look at. And if I was going to get up here on a Memorial Day weekend and preach, speak a message on biblical memorials, I would consider talking about maybe a memorial feast. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14, now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. How about memorializing the day the children of Israel left Egypt? The blood on the doorpost, the Lord coming through and saving the firstborn of all those who obeyed. You know, when I first typed this up, I went through, and I hope you don't think I'm changing the Bible. I'm just looking at it a little bit different perspective. But every one of them we see there, it says, and the Lord came through and slew the firstborn that did not have the blood on the door. But you know what? As I look at this Memorial Day weekend and those that have given their life to preserve the life of others, ultimately that's what that lamb's blood did, is that lamb's blood preserved the life of those. And so the Lord, we many times, and I think that's where we get this idea and this concept that the God of the Old Testament is mean and angry and vengeful and wrathful, but then the God of the New Testament is love. Well, you know what? The God that had to carry out judgment in the Old Testament there went through the camp, it says the Lord went through the camp or went through went through Egypt there. If you were obedient, you were saved. And so I guess, how do you want to look at it? Do you want to look at everyone that was lost and killed? Or do you want to look at those that were saved? I oftentimes, many times in our Bible classes at school, I'll use this as an illustration, and I'll point out, for example, like Shane Comer. I say, you know, he's the firstborn male son in the family. If your dad was told to do this, and on that Sabbath night when they were to go out there and put the, it would be of great importance for Shane to make sure that his dad obeyed. Tristan, she doesn't care so much. Right? And he normally says, right. But this would be a pretty big deal. And for those of us that would be that firstborn, we understand that. We see that. And we understand this memorial feast. Well, how about memorializing the day that the children of Egypt, or of Israel, the children of Israel left Egypt, the blood on the doorpost, coming through and the Lord coming through and saving the firstborn of all those who obeyed. What a day in Hebrew history. If I were going to speak a message on biblical memorials, this would be a memorial that would be a good one to talk about, to look at and spend a lot of time in. But I believe that the scripture tells us of more important memorials to take a look at. Being that it's Memorial Day weekend, and if I was going to speak on memorials, I would look at the biblical memorial and consider talking about perhaps maybe the book of memorial. Exodus chapter 17, verse 14, just the first portion of that verse says, "The Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua." In other words, what God was telling Moses here is take a letter. Take some notes here. And another great memorial would be to talk about all that happened to the children of Israel. Write this all down, Moses. Moses and all the fantastic 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, pin this down. If I were going to speak a message on biblical memorials, boy, this would be a good one to get into and delve into and look at all the wonderful things that we could discuss. However, I believe that Scripture tells us of other important memorials that we need to look at. Being that it is Memorial Day weekend, and I was going to do a sermon on biblical memorials, I would consider speaking on the ephod stones of memorial. This has always been a neat one to me. I always thought it was neat and special, of the breastplate that the high priest would wear. Exodus chapter 28, verses 12 and 29 says, "You shall put the two stones on the shoulder of the pieces of the ephod as stones of memorial for the sons of Israel, and Aaron shall bear the names before the Lord on his two shoulders for a memorial. Aaron shall carry the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment over his heart when he enters into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually." Do you ever get the idea that the Lord, especially here in the book of Exodus, is giving us memorials and things he really wants for the nation of Israel to pay attention to? Every time the high priest would appear and the glory of his ephod would be seen, truly this would be a time of great remembrance. for every Israelite to consider the commitment to God and to God's promise to them, not only seeing the two memorial stones on the shoulder, but as maybe the father or the grandfather or maybe a great-grandfather could hold the grandson or the granddaughter on his lap and say, as the high priest walks out and they say, see that stone in the bottom left-hand corner? That's our tribe. That's us. That's our representation. This is a memorial for us and a way for us that God remembers us and that we remember him. If we're going to speak a message on biblical memorials, I could go on in this one for quite a while and the interest that I have in it. We could discern and discuss it, but I believe the scripture tells us of another of important memorials to take a look at. Being that it's Labor Day or Memorial Day weekend, and we're looking at memorials and considering those and even biblical memorials today, I would consider the memorial stones in the river Jordan as they crossed. Joshua chapter 4, verse 7 says, then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so that the stone shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. This is another neat one that's captivated my imagination for years. What a special memorial this would be, a place to mark the crossing of the Jordan River into the promised land. Now we'd like to talk about them crossing the Red Sea and crossing on dry land, and what a great event that would have been to see. But this is the one that, spiritually speaking, we're all kind of looking for. The crossing of Jordan. As the Ark of the Covenant and the priests and their feet hit the water, the waters back up, they walk across on dry land. And then when they get to the other side, Joshua tells them, here's what needs to happen. We're going to put 12 stones. I think they were probably much bigger stones than the ones we see in our picture there. That's just my guessing, but I've been wrong before and I'll be wrong again. But as we look at these 12 uncut stones, there's a reminder that as they would look out and see this pile of stones, and I think of it every year when we go to camp, the kids go down to the creek, they play in the creek, and they stack up mounds of stones. It reminds me of this scenario. There will be times as you're going along, maybe on vacation or on a trip, and you look down into a riverbed that seems to be almost dried up, and yet you see a formation there that you know that the fish didn't make. Somebody got out there and stacked those stones all up on each other, and you wonder why they did that. And yet the Lord had them do that with these 12 stones, to a reminder, one for each tribe, that as they crossed the Jordan River, they made a monument of stones to represent the tribe's final journey into the land that God had given to them. To see them years later and to be able to ask the question, as we had said earlier, that maybe it's a grandson or a granddaughter or a great-great-grandson or a great-granddaughter asking, Papa or Meemaw, what in the world are all those stones out in the middle of that river for? And for them to tell them the reason why it was a memorial. Boy, that'd give us something good to talk about, wouldn't it? You know, if I was going to speak a message on biblical memorials, that would be one I could spend some time on. Sit down and share in what that means, what it could mean, and what it does mean to us today. But I believe the scripture tells us of other important memorials that we need to look at. Being that it's Memorial Day weekend, and the thought of memorials are on our mind. If I was going to speak a message on biblical memorials, I think I would consider that of a memorial made for a woman, in honor of a woman. Mark 14:9 says, truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Can you imagine a gift so costly, used to wash the feet of Jesus? What a blessed act of honor given on behalf of this woman. And yet she is doing it to honor her Lord, but yet her Lord then says, this will be in memory of her. A simple reminder to us as we consider this weekend that all gave some, but some gave all. We could spend a great deal of time sharing a praised memorial for this woman. But you know, if I was going to speak a message on biblical memorials, this would be a good memorial to talk about, to honor Jesus Christ, to discuss the things that she did in giving him the praise that he so ultimately deserves. But I believe the scripture tells us of one most important memorial to take a look at. I'd like to spend the remainder of the message this morning talking about that memorial. If I was going to speak a message on biblical memorials, and you know what, I think today's as good as a day as any to do that, I'd talk about the Lord's Supper. As a matter of fact, I believe that the memorial that we have been given within the partaking of the Lord's Supper and what we have come to know as our time of communion is the greatest memorial given to man. Luke chapter 22 and verse 19 says this, "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The broken bread represents the torn and ripped flesh of our Savior's body. And as he goes on in the following verse, in verse 20, Luke 22, 20, it says, "And in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood.'" The blood that Jesus shed during his praying, during his beatings, during his scourgings, during the piercing of his head, during the piercing of his hands, during the piercings of his feet, during the piercing of his side, is all represented in that juice, in that cup that you drank here this morning. Have we ever stopped to consider what Jesus has stopped and told us to remember? He goes to great length to say, to not to say, "Remember my birth." Now wait, we're Christians. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. Yeah, we do. But he's never told us to recognize that. And yet we'll set up monuments, memorials, trees, garland and bulbs and everything else. And the Lord never asked us to do that. So I'll let you judge for yourself whether that's right or whether it's wrong. But he never asked for us to do that. He's never asked for us to even remember his resurrection. Now, don't jump to any conclusions just yet. We'll go to some scriptures that'll say now what we're talking about. But what I'm saying is, we look at perhaps the two greatest attended church services of the year by Christianity, and the Lord had never asked us to remember his birth or his resurrection. Are those days important? How many here believe that the day that Jesus Christ was born was important? Amen, right? Right? Most of us anyway. Rest of you, you're staying afterwards. Have a little talk. How many here believe that the day that Jesus resurrected from the grave is a very important day? And yet, as we look at these things, these two days are the days that the world of Christianity will pay most honor in memorializing and remembering Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying they're wrong for doing it, because actually we should give him all the honor and praise that is so rightfully due him. Amen? But the problem is that we, even in the church, have then taken special days and made them special to us. When what we look at and we see in what the Lord is talking to and the Lord is sharing with us, I want for us to understand that 1 Corinthians 11:26, this is how Paul reminds us, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's," say it with me, "death until he comes again." Now, I do believe, I do not want to downplay the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by any means. So this is why I said hold on and want to listen to the rest of the story. Because I do believe that when we talk about the death and we talk about that in its culmination, we see that in Romans 6 and we see that in Galatians 3, that when we talk about the death, we are talking about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Okay, so don't misapply any of the terms that are the lesson that I'm trying to share here. But my point is, did Jesus ever say, "Make sure, do this in remembrance of me and give presents to everyone in December"? No. Did Jesus ever say, now I want to, and this, you know, totally blows my mind, you know, you have to look into the history of, but, you know, hey, if you really want to make sure that you celebrate my resurrection, then you got to find that bunny that lays those Cadbury eggs. Now, I wish I had that bunny that laid those Cadbury eggs, all right? But the point being is, Jesus never said to remember that resurrection. What he did tell us to do, however, is to remember my death. Paul even said, "Do you proclaim his death until he comes again?" Is it important as we as Christians that we let the world know that Jesus Christ, the Savior, was born in Bethlehem? Amen. Is it important that we let the world know that we believe that he resurrected? Because I do believe that is what makes his death different than any other death that's ever taken place on earth, is that he did conquer the grave. Okay, so as I said, no downplaying that whatsoever. But at the same time, he did for us what we could not do for ourselves, being sacrificed as the pure, spotless Lamb of God on Calvary. We have communion to remember his death. If that's not in your mind as you're taking the Lord's Supper, I don't usually like to hand out grades at church, but if we take the Lord's Supper and his death is not on your mind, you have failed this morning. Because this is what we're to proclaim: the Lord's death until he comes again. Has Jesus returned yet? No. We, in this ultimate act of memorializing our Lord, if we fail to remember his death for us, for the world, for me, then we're here for the wrong reason. Just as the Hebrews would celebrate the Passover, they were told to do so on the 14th day of the month of Nisan. That's when they celebrated Passover. Why did they celebrate that day? Church, this is as easy as questions as it gets. Because God said so. Okay? So too, we celebrate the Lord's Supper on the day that we're told to, the day we're told to remember the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Acts 20, verse 7, the first portion of that verse says, "And on the first day of the week when they gathered together," for what reason? Church? To break bread, to have the Lord's Supper, to celebrate communion. That's why we're here. Now, as we talked about the other memorials that we like to remember Jesus on, and yet this is where the church throughout, I believe, not just the United States, but perhaps around the world, but maybe more so in the United States because we've grown, you know, we hear so many people say, well, it's just commonplace if you do it every Sunday. How sad. Because as we see, it says that they met together on the first day of the week. If your employer told you you got paid on the fifth day of the week, then once a year on the Thursday, you're going to go looking for your boss? Is that how it would go? When are you going to go looking for your boss on the fifth day of the week? You're going to go looking every week, aren't you? And we've got something here when it says the first day of the week. We don't need to explain that that's the first day of every week, but yet it is the first day of every week. That's when we remember. When did he resurrect? That's why I'm not saying that's not important, because it is. But upon the first day of the week, as they met together to break bread, Paul sums it up for us as he shares in his immortal words of 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Of all the things in the world that Jesus wants for his followers to remember. Listen up, church. Clean the wax out at this time. Okay? If he wants you to hear anything at this time, listen. Eat this bread and drink this cup and do this in remembrance or in memorial of me. Consider what the Lord has said we should do and how the church responds to that. I'm talking about the church universal. I know of too many congregations that put the Lord's Supper table off in another room during the service because they don't want somebody to feel out of place while the rest of the church takes communion. Well, once again, it's not about how you feel. It's about praising him. "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, if I was going to preach a Memorial Day sermon, that's something I like to talk about, is what Jesus Christ has done for us, what Jesus Christ has asked us to remember, and what Jesus Christ wants for us to remember. If he wants for us to remember it, he'll let us know. He has. Do this in remembrance of him. This is a weekend where we remember and honor those that have fallen. I say each and every first day of the week is the day in which we remember and honor the King that sacrificed his own body for the sake of this world. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, I hope that you don't misunderstand what we're trying to share here today, that it's important to do what Jesus asks. And you may not feel like it. You may not, you know, be in the best, you know, feeling the best. Maybe you're a little under the weather, but I'm just here to let you know. He says to do this in remembrance of me. That we do it together. That we do it collectively. We don't do it by ourselves somewhere off no man's land. But it's a communion, not only us with the Father, but us with each other. But if you're here and you're outside of Jesus Christ and you want to know more about him, getting to heaven starts with believing that Jesus is the Son of God. John 8:24, it says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent, Luke 13:3, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." We tell you that you need to confess Jesus Christ, Matthew 10:32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before man, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. That I need to be immersed, Mark 16:16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And then to be faithful. What is being faithful? If the Lord has asked you to do something, right? Kids, or you got to just, if your parents tell you to water the flowers and you don't water the flowers, have you been faithful in watering the flowers? No. If your boss asks you to do this or do that, clean this up or make sure that this is set to go at this time, and you don't do that, have you been faithful to your boss? And yet Jesus says, do this. He wasn't saying, if you want to. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Church, it is our responsibility as a Christian to fulfill the promises that we've made. How many of us expect for Jesus to fulfill his promises that he made to us? Each and every one of us. That's why we're praying and hoping for heaven. And my hope is in heaven, because my hope is in Jesus. And yours should be too. Will you stand with us as they lead us in our song of invitation here this morning?
Let's sing, there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay his life for his friends.